Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And, of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My primary account for my personal is Paul Franz. So you can find me on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And, of course, we have the account for the podcast, which is SFU On Call. It's SFUONCALL. And, of course, my account for my business, which is Franz Games, and spelled FRNZGMES. And, of course, this lovely podcast gets turned to podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Of course, the constant, steady work of projects, and then they also create 8 1-pound bags of minis that were factory seconds, and they sold out really quickly. You know those ones I mentioned, like, oh, Thursday? Well, they sold in, like, next day or two, so I'm not sure if you got yours, but, if you didn't, sorry, they're gone. Steve Cole was busy working campus log number 53, also desperate. He was also on a desperate search for fiction. Also, he worked on blogs, artwork for both the Master Starship book. Also, including in that is that the new there's going to be new dinosaur names in the Gorn ship's Master Starship book, and of course he's been working on Shapeways and their different other kind of projects. Also, he updated the register. Update the register listing for which minis go with which ship, with which game, and had Gene start proofreading and cross-checking. Wow, that sounds like a lot of work on the online store. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates and, of course, the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on accounting for Shapeways. That's always fun. Uploading new ships to Shapeways and also managing various social media accounts, and of course keeping the spam stop down on the BBS itself. Moving forward, we have the SFB Online tournaments. When it comes to the Masters Starship, the Masters tournament being run by Andrew Calk, there's 5 games that have been played. Guys, come on, let's get the games done. Let's get them going. I would love to play my game. Unfortunately, I don't have an opponent. So please, get your games done. When it comes to Rat 43, we had a late sign-up, which actually was accepted by Ron Braumeyer, the judge. Which is good. Actually, the funny part is that he actually signed up for SLP Online and then signed up for the tournament immediately the same day. So I'm glad he actually got in. We have 2 games done. We need more done. Again, I'm waiting for my I got a bye in the first round, so I'm waiting for my opponent to get finished his. When it comes to Platinum Hat Tournament, this Bill Schiller is the judge. Ted versus Peter, they're going to continue the game. Actually, tonight, as I'm talking to you, they should have already started. I've not actually checked on the game. It's fine that it might be done by now. So keep an eye out for announcement of the winner or loser in that. Hopefully a quick write-up of the last. Moving on to the library report for this week. Sorry, still no progress there. And I really apologize. I should have gotten down at least my 2 done, and we could have at least had some progress. But we're still stuck at 2,426 converted and 906 yet to be converted. And I'll do for next week, that gives a complete percentage complete of 72.8%. One thing I will do definitely for next week is at the very least try to give a little more of a breakdown of where those lie, which ones are Omega, which ones are what else? I think fighters included with that. Definitely the PFs. You know, maybe there might be an LMC. I got to double check to see what exactly is not yet be completed. So, and with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, as the one, the only, the Ball Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got me, we got Dave. Who else we need? We need you. You need to be here. Come on. This first thing is just going to be a quick update. Actually, I got an email this week that there is hope in Mudville. And that is that I got an email that TalkShoe is actually in the middle of doing a beta test. Or they're going to be opening a beta very soon to a new version of the site. Which gives me hope when it comes to TalkShoe that they're not just going to sit upon it and hope that it, you know, just maintains the money that's currently being brought in by advertisements and things like that. They're actually going to be actively developing the TalkShoe website. So definitely that is a great thing. But even given that, the question is how quickly will that be take to roll out? How long will we have to wait? Should I wait? Should I rely on that on the TalkShoe platform, or should I move to another platform? Because you know, as we have been really painfully obvious that we have lost people from coming to the chat room and joining us online as an active member of this weekly live podcast that we do, that we're losing people. They come by, they can't hear it, and then they leave, and they're gone, and they'll never come back. Now, maybe, just maybe, we can get some of those back if we're fortunate. I'm not sure if that'll be the case or not. We'll just have to wait and see. The question is whether we'll stick with TalkShoe or not. What I'd like to try is see if I can get at least a few people involved in this. I'll probably post like something on Twitter, possibly the discussion board. I gotta check my avenues. Probably email Russ and Dave, possibly put it on the Slack, which I've been lax in posting anything there. I know I should. The only way. Here's the biggest problem with social media. It takes too much freaking long time to keep it up to date, to actually make it an active thing, is that you have to work so hard to make it an active thing. You know, and I'm not sure if it's worth it or not. You know, I want it to grow, but at the same time, there's only so much time, minutes in the day I got to do things, you know? So we'll just have to wait and see. But the one thing I want to try out, and I'll send out certain things about it, which is I want to try to see if we can do a podcast using this Discord app. It won't solve the other problems that Discord does not solve, i.e. call-ins. Those will not work. Anyone who wants to log in would have to have the Discord app or have to call me directly. And then I think I can set it up using Hijack, Audio Hijack. Is it Pro or just Audio Hijack? I forget which. But I think I can then patch them in to have it so it comes through the Discord app, and so people can hear it, and I can also listen to it the same. Not listen. I can record it at the same time. I gotta think I got the diagram up. I'm just not exactly sure how to transfer the diagram into Audio Hijack Pro. I think I got a Take Control book on that, so I'll take a look, see at that, see if I can get that all set up. But in the meantime, I know I can, for Discord app, I can definitely record it. That's not a problem, because I've got Piezo, which if I'm just recording myself and what's coming off of the Discord app, I can do that. What I want to test with our testing podcast is I want, looks like I have, the controls are there for Discord to do what I want it to do, which is I want to be able to ban people, I want to kick people off. You know, those are the kind of things I want to be able to do. I can make it so it's open invite, so anyone who wants to join can join anytime they want, and that's fine. And then, of course, I can kick them out. And if it becomes a real problem, real big problem, I always can close it off and require a little more due diligence on that. Hopefully, I will not have to do that. Hopefully, we're one, a small enough community where those spammers and slammers and all around pain in the butt people that just want to sow discord and and division and just be idiots, basically, will stay away. You know? So, that being the case, and that's one thing I want to see if I can get together possibly this weekend, maybe at some later point. I would love to actually, you know, do that test. So we'll have to wait and see. But moving on to one of the topics for this evening. Actually, currently I said only one topic, and I'm not sure how long that will last. And either we're gonna have to have a very abbreviated podcast, or we're gonna switch topics real quick and move on to a new topic. And that is, the topic for this evening is, I call it SFU Adventures. Now, I'm sure if you listen to this podcast long enough, you will remember about my excitement about interactive fiction. And I like the idea. But, you know, I'm only one guy. I only have so much time in the day. But the issue currently with interactive fiction for us is, what I wanted was a platform where people can get together, you know, have it so it requires a login, so forth, it's authenticated, and we have different roles and so forth. So we have a community effort. Collaborative. Okay, that's the word I'm looking for. I'm looking for a collaborative effort that can be done for many people. You know, that's the whole idea of collaborative. Working together to create a single story. Well, that's what I like to do. Now, obviously the biggest issue with collaborative, doing things collaboratively, is, of course, conflict. Invariably, whole issue is that you have to have a team, and the team has to have a single vision, or at the very least a common vision. The other way of doing it, of course, is the Linus Torvalds model. The Linus Torvalds model is this, and that is, he is the big dog. He says yes or no to everything, to a certain degree. Then what happens is that's the way it started, like Linux started at the very beginning of development. He was the gatekeeper for what came in. And then from there, he built up these, he called his lieutenants. And those lieutenants, basically what they did was they were trusted individuals that he would say, okay, you can, you know, these individuals were smart, and Linus Torvalds felt like they could be trusted. So he get them responsibility. So he passed off responsibility to those lieutenants, Yeah, he would still have ultimate say, yes, yay or nay, but, you know, for the most part, he wasn't involved in the day-to-day operations. His lieutenants could do that. And, of course, even that, you know, now, even now, the lieutenants, I'm sure the lieutenants have lieutenants. Kind of idea. You have a hierarchy. But each of those lieutenants still have ultimate control and ultimate, you know, check. But, of course, they have trusted individuals that they trust. And the whole idea, okay, like anything else, is a level of trust. Now, the tough part about collaborative efforts, especially when it comes to fiction, in my mind, is commonality. You have to have a common vision. There are certain things I think that you actually, it's kind of a neat idea. I think it's kind of a neat idea. Anyway, that is, my daughter does something kind of interesting. Actually, she hasn't done it for a while. I'm not sure she's actively doing it at the moment. And it's with Tumblr. What I call it is a shared role-playing experience. The whole idea of a shared role-playing experience is that it's more like having two authors together writing a story. Now, how it works is that each person is kind of in charge of this person, and this person, and then they have these interactions about, you know, they go there, you know, either we do this, we do that, we go here, we go there, you know, and, you know, certain parts of how the story is written. But they usually do it in when it comes to respect to either one or more. Usually just one. I think it's just one. Characters, which they've created. And they create this kind of shared narrative from this. Which is a kind of a cool idea. Neither one controls the story, but they both control the story. In that they cooperate with each other to write the story together of these two characters. Now, could we do the same thing for Starfleet Battles? Probably. I still don't quite understand exactly how she uses Tumblr to do this. She explained it to me a couple times, and I still, it has not really, you know, has not really overall clicked with me. I'm not sure why, it just hasn't. So, I'm not sure how that whole thing works, but given a shared experience like this, you know, I have to double check. I've got a book on it, on how to write interactive fiction. There is a structure. The problem is with interactive fiction that was created is it's meant for a single author, not a collaborative environment. It's a single author. And I'm not sure if anyone has worked on creating a fork of it so that, because the thing is, everything that's stored is stored in the browser. That's what it's stored. So, which is really kind of bad. Though I think you actually could do export. You actually could export the story to be outside of the browser. So you actually could save it in a file locally. But most of the time you don't do that. You can go and write your story, and it's stored locally. I assume it's like a local database. Because, you know, with HTML5 and all, you know, you can store lots of data on your computer. The problem is, of course, if you clear the website data, ego, bye-bye. There goes your story. There goes all of your work. Which is, in my mind, it's kind of an issue. You know? So, that's one of those things that I personally don't like about it. And I'd want it like exported after each session. I'd want to do an export. I'm not sure if they, since I watched and listened to that episode on Floss Weekly, on whether they've continued on, and actually have not investigated that interactive fiction. Now, the question would be, of course, is that if we do something collaborative, would we want to be interactive fiction? Because I like interactive fiction, the whole idea of not that you create characters, you create background. You create characters, you create objects, you create what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for basically the whole idea of the story, you know, the background, not background material. The background when it comes to the story, it's like, you know, the scenery, basically. You know, is it a starship? Is it an underground base? Is it on a planet that you've been beamed down from a starship to investigate, you know, what happened to some colony, you know, things like that. And then a player can go in and actually interact with the environment. You know, in some cases, some people, there are, it's been a while, but if I recall correctly, interactive fiction, in the way I saw it, there was multiple ways of doing it. One of those ways is using interactive fiction as a puzzle, i.e., you have to pick up this item and then interact with this person. You have to give them, you know, this item so that they will then either trade you with another item or tell you a bit of information that you need to continue on. That, to me, that's a puzzle. That's an interactive fiction as a puzzle. Then you have interaction fiction as almost, interactive fiction as it relates to a story, i.e., you're in a story and you interact with these characters, but these characters are part of a story, in which case they're interacting with themselves. And so then you discover the story from interacting with these characters. Like you interact with one character and they say, "Oh, I'm so depressed. I'm so lonely. My girlfriend broke up with me." And then maybe someone along, you talk to the father of this of the girl who broke up with him, and they said, "No, he was a bastard," or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, you find instead of finding out through dialogue, pure dialogue, and just reading how the author wants to tell the story, which is very linear overall. Obviously, you can do flashbacks and all this kind of thing in a novel. Lord knows, this is one of those things I think Russ would love to be involved in. I mean, he's not here tonight. I don't know why, but he's not. But anyhow, moving forward, and then of course you have interactive fiction as almost a game, you know, not a puzzle, but actually not even a puzzle. It's more of, I don't know, yeah, a game, like a morgue. Massively on a MOOC. I think it's MOOC. Massively online gaming, basically. The whole idea is that you got multiple players interacting with this with this world that's been created, and then things happen and you can interact with the characters. Now, interactive as a MOOG? Wow, that would be kind of cool. You know, where, you know, and this reminds me of back in the day. Actually, I looked this up, and there is now Ultima online. Right when I was growing up, when was I playing Ultima? I forget what. I think I was playing it on, was it Commodore 64? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Commodore 64. I was playing Ultima, which actually was kind of cool. I liked Ultima. I remember buying Ultima 4. That's all I remember. And going around this world, you know. And of course, the graphics were really cheesy. 8-bit, the whole 8-bit graphics thing. This was actually 8-bit graphics. You know, but overall, it was a good game. It was really enjoyable. I enjoyed it. I know multiple people did enjoy it too. You know, but the whole idea was that you have this group of characters that you took through. Basically, it's like D&D, but it was part of a game. Oh wow, cool! I didn't know they had Dave was mentioning there was an Nintendo NES version to Ultima. Wow. That actually does not surprise me. And just remembering how old the NES is, it was a good old play device. Now, the question is to do something like what I call SFU Adventures. What we just want, we could do a collaboration where it wasn't interactive fiction, but we were writing fiction collaboratively, which is kind of boring, I think. But some people like the whole idea. Now, I'm sure there's all kinds of collaborative platforms for collaboration in that. Now, as I mentioned, in this case, the collaboration is a little different. When it comes to the way I see a story, if you want to do a collaborative story, the tools that you'd want to have. When it comes to, I'm talking about disparate individuals that only want to write a small part of the story and allow them to be part of the writing process. You have editors, we have reviewers and things like that. That whole kind of process requires quite a bit of software and basically requires a whole platform to do that. Now, I think it'd be kind of cool, but I'm sure there's platforms out there that have already been written for such things. I've not done any research on that. I will definitely have to look for it myself. As I mentioned before, I'm interested in interactive fiction. I think the whole idea of interactive fiction is really cool. This reminds me, it's one of those things that, sidetrack. I'm going to chase a rabbit here for a moment. It might be a long-winded rabbit. Currently, I'm stuck. I got these goals that I want to reach for the end of the year. I still got 6 months, which is that's still time enough to get at least started on these things and get them to a point where I can say I've completed them. I think that's great, and that's really cool. Now, like any other things that we do, I'm stuck because I have so many things that I would like to do. I don't know what I want to focus on. Which is why I was looking at my email, and I bought some Take Control books. And one of the things that I received in my email, which kind of draws into this, is, must be this one. There it is. It's called Take Control of Your Productivity. And I'm almost thinking I might want to do that, or, I don't know, meditate on it. I'm not 100% sure what to do about all of that. So I will have to wait and see where my heart lies. Because there are certain things that I want. I'm torn between certain things that are related to my job, my day job, that I would love to, you know, be more interested. I'm interested in, but you know how jobs go. We get bogged down in the daily grind, and we're not able to research and go forward on new stuff that. And new things that we want to do, but we can't do because we're stuck with them in the mundane, you know. So it doesn't help. But that's actually one of the things I was working on today, because we were supposed to switch version control systems, and that kind of got delayed into like August. And don't ask. I understand why. You know, there's gonna be a productivity hit. It's gonna be interesting. When we do it, it's going to be quite a... It could be... Actually, to me, it could be a productivity boost. But also, there are certain things that people are going to have to realize that what we currently do, we can't do anymore. It's going to be a little more... not controlled, but a little more, you know, more process-centered, you know. And you have to stick to the process, because otherwise things are going to look really wonky. But anyhow, getting back to SFU Adventures and interactive fiction. As I said, the big thing for us, I think we'd want a collaborative. Now the question is whether that actually would be successful. Do we have enough people that'd be interested in doing that kind of thing? I know Russ would probably be able to do it. Would be interested in do it. I'm not sure I would have time to do it. If I set it up, I could have time probably to support it, assuming the people who report bugs and things like that are better yet, if there actually was a collaborative environment set up for that, you know. But we have to wait and see on that, because I know that a lot of interactive fiction software is getting kind of old in the tooth. Yeah. So again, that's one of the things. That's why I have to figure out exactly what I want to do. Whether I'll go forward in working on the whole idea of SFU Adventures, which actually, just to let you know, I still have the domain for SFU Adventures, which heck, I could use it for interactive fiction. We could use it for just, you know, heck, I could use it for just post having people post stories about the different Starfleet Battle games that they've played, and the stories that, you know, that come, the narrative that come out of those games, you know, which I think would be kind of cool. I would love to have that as kind of integrated into SFB Online. You'd be able to take the game and then add like notations to it and things like that. I think that would be kind of cool. I'm not sure how many people would actually take advantage of it, you know, but it's one of those things that, you know, is it one of those things that, if you build, they will come? Or is it, if you build it, they'll just sit there and go, eh? You know, I think when it comes to SW Online anyway, the focus really should be, as I stated at the beginning of this year, have it so that you can actually watch a game online without the actual client. Because I think I can get a lot of people interested in SFB Online if I can do that. If you can't play, I think just watching is enough to get people interested and possibly get, you know, downloading the client and so forth. Because I think that will actually help them to get interested and actually want to play if they can actually watch the games. Obviously, this is not as cool as Fortnite, you know, but I don't have millions upon millions of dollars. Thank you. And you know, and a team full of developers to do this. I'm a one guy shop, and you know, so obviously the other one is Starfleet Warlord. I actually have a good idea to move forward for that. Well, and to complete that, and apologize for the tapping and clicking, and let's see if I can find it. If I can't find it, I'll just Let It Go. I cannot find it off the top of doing a quick search. Worst case scenario, I'll have to take a look look at the actual post that I did on Facebook. I'm pretty sure I did the New Year's review on that and get download it and so forth. But one of the things I wanted to do was actually have the client available online. I have had an that's one of those ones that I wanted to do online, and that I can do. I need to do a lot of work on that really quick to have that available, because that's going to take easily a month of work to get it available. But the other thing I wanted to do actually was have it so that beginners can come in and play and do this interactively, iteratively, kind of as a demo kind of thing, using the website, which is obviously certain things would be required for that. You have to register an email account, in which case, when you register the email account, then I can contact you. It's like, that you want, I noticed that you've been playing a few games, and would you be interested in actual, a live person? And at some point, maybe, as I mentioned before, the whole idea of a competition, I think would be a really great idea. But, so the whole idea is I have to figure out my focus, and what is going to be going forward. For what I want, because the biggest thing for me is, what am I excited about? What am I excited about doing? And one, turn off the TV is a good start for anything, because I get sucked in, and if I get sucked into TV, I can't focus. There's certain things that I want to do. One of those things, obviously, is to me, it's obvious that I want to learn Rust. Because I think Rust to me is cool, because of it harkens back to the days when of C, when I did a lot of C programming back in the day when it was things were simpler in life. But actually, the one thing that also I really like is the whole idea of an ownership model when it comes to data structures and things like that, and that helps alleviate the whole issue with memory management, the whole issue with memory management, basically who owns the object. And so if you own the object, that means you can throw it away, and if you don't own the object, that means you can't do anything with it. You can access it, you can do it, but at some point when the owner said, I don't want it anymore, then it can go bye bye. So the idea of transferring ownership is a powerful concept when it comes to keeping that. And I think I would like to do my next web-based server on Rust, because actually it's included in the actual core code of Rust that you can actually do a web server right on that, which I think is really cool, because also it eliminates the whole problem with like Tomcat. And that is, with Tomcat, you have the big issue of the admin console and all that kind of thing. But, I know Java. I can write Java. I'm fine with Java. I'm fine with Perl. I've been using those for quite a few years now. So, but I'm not, as I mentioned before, Perl, I'm kind of a hack. I can write Perl scripts, not Perl programs. My team lead at my job, he writes Perl programs. Actually, he is mentioned, is he an author, or is he just mentioned in one of the O'Reilly books? Which was kind of cool. He told me that, I went, ooh, that's cool. I have my name actually in a published book. I'm not talking about Captain's Log, where it's a magazine, an actual book, Not just saying, oh, thank you for this. Probably actually has contributed. Obviously, I contribute to the Captain's Logs. which, you know, I would love to write. I would say I'd love to write fiction, but I'm not a, I can't write fiction. My daughter, I would love her to write fiction. I think that'd be fantastic. But anyhow, moving on to the next topic for this evening. I think we probably would best if we actually talk about, what the heck, GURPS. Because we're on the whole role-playing thing. And so GURPS / Prime Directive and things like that. I'm really excited about the updates that Gene's working on when it comes to Prime Directive. Because I think it'd be really great. Will it sell? Yeah. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not perfectly confident that it will sell. My only concern is that we're going to be competing against Star Trek Kena. Well, okay, let's back up. Modern Star Trek. And the kids these days, you know... The younger gamers, when it comes to role-playing games, I'm talking about pen and paper, because there's still people who like pen and paper, believe it or not. I'm sure, maybe my family is weird. That's one thing I really would like to do, is ask my kids, quote-unquote kids, 21 and 23-year-old. These are my kids. Now, well, I'd like to ask them, and I might do that tonight after I get off the podcast here, and that is, when it comes to books, do your friends like electronic versions? Because I know at least my one daughter, she has friends who read books, you know, whether it's just anime or manga or comics. I know they also, I'm sure they read other books, you know, that are not graphic novels. Or at least graphically oriented. Comics are not really graphic novels. They're a little different. But anyhow, ask them, do they like print? Because me, overall, I like print. I'm a combination person. There are certain things I like to have in print, like i.e. anything that's religious, i.e. I've got a few books like the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I have, Loving Jesus in the Dark, which is a short book. It's like 100 pages about letters that between Father Paul, I forget his last name, and Saint Teresa of Calcutta, you know, Mother Teresa, you know, that saint, and how, you know, she was not depressed, but felt disconnected from God. You know, it's called the Dark Night of the Soul. She's not the only one. It's like Saint John of the Cross, Saint Bernadette is another one. There's a few of them, of saints that had this. Have described the same issue that they've had. Lord knows, I've never gotten... it's one of those things, like, do I really want to be a saint if that's a possibility that I'm going to have this dark soul where I feel totally disconnected from God? I'm not sure. But, anyhow, but religious kind of books like that, I want hard copies. Things like, you know, science fiction novels. I'm more than happy to read as an ebook, you know, technical manuals. I'm more happy to read as a book. And I mentioned many times before, when it comes to rule books, I'm kind of particular. When it comes to a rule book for a game, I want a hard copy. I will still want to buy a ebook version. Why? Because the ebook version, the greatest thing that ever created, was the ebook version of the rulebook, so that you can search. through it, you know, because that's great. You know, I remember when it comes to books, reading on my iPad, when I first, you know, I was doing this whole ebook thing, and I come to realize I really don't like reading things on my iPad. I still like reading ebooks, but mainly I like to read them on, I've got both the Nook, the paper, you know, the Glow, what's it called? The Glow White, I think it's called, and also the Kindle. Now, here's the funny part. When it comes to the Kindle, I usually don't buy Kindle books. I upload Mobi files up to my Kindle. Yeah, Matt just mentioned he does the same thing for him. He likes almost always goes with physical books when it comes to RPG books. And I agree. You know, there's something about learning a game. You have the board in front of you. You've got the book beside you. So you can just flip back and forth through the book when it comes to finding certain issues. And you can, and that, you know, that's why, actually, there's one thing while I'm on this bunny trail, one thing I've actually been looking for, and if anyone has a good recommendation, I've heard some good recommendations for this, but I have yet to actually take advantage. I have not plunked down the money, which is going to be like over $200 for this. I would like to have an ebook reader, which is basically the size of an iPad, you know, a 9-inch, a 10-inch ebook, just ebook, you know, reading, you know, e-ink, sorry, not ebook, e-ink reader. That is what I would like to find. One that's good, solid. I was actually looking for one of the old Kindles, you know, and I'm not so sure. At this point, I'd actually want an old Kindle, because I don't think the batteries are replaceable in those things. And when you can't replace the batteries and the batteries go dead, those are things that are not easy to replace. That's the great thing about my wife's laptop. Her laptop is old enough that you actually can replace the battery. Yes, that's one of the great things, you know, about that laptop. Now, the problem with that laptop is that it's also very thick compared to these days. I'm sure you've seen the thin MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs. And it's like, you know, that's what we pay for. We like the thin. We like the thin and light. And we pay for it. But anyhow, anyone has a good recommendation for a large format? Now, well, relatively large, as I said, 9 to 10 inch e-ink reader that allows me to just load up, you know, EPUB files to it. That's all. And it has to be in English. You know, it does not have to be able to use Wi-Fi. It just has to be able to look. I can connect it to my computer and load up books. That is the only thing I want to do. So, if anyone has a good recommendation, please contact me at sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Obviously, you can reach me on the Slack too. But, you know, that would be fantastic. But, you know, again, drawing back to the SFU Adventures, that's one thing, you know, if we want to, you know, that'd be the great thing about doing a collaborative effort where we actually are just writing a story, is that at the end we actually could kind of, quote unquote, publish it and have it available on the website. Now, the website, you could browse on anything. And obviously, given the HTML and all the support for mobile, mobile browsers, you'll be able to, you know, flick back and forth, go between pages. Because Lord knows, I know this is possible. Why? Because it's how I get my newspaper. I got the Baltimore Sun. And the Baltimore Sun, I can either, there's two ways. I can either read it in the app, or actually can read it from the browser. And invariably, I like the browser. Why do I like the browser? Because it duplicates what the newspaper looks like. David is mentioning that he prefers books too, but also uses PDFs because he travels and plays, and I'm the only one with the rule book, and I can't be dragging that bag with me anymore. Understood, Dave. Actually, when it comes to conventions, I bring, well, the mini conventions / gaming groups. Let's be honest when it comes to Gamers of Summer, Gamers of Winter. Basically, there are a gaming group that meets twice a year that Doug organizes. We pay, you know, we make sure that he does not do this with the goodness of his heart. He pays for the room, and we pay him to rent the room so we can play games on that weekend. And I enjoy that, To call it a convention, you can call it a mini convention because of these disparate people who we really don't know each other. And anyone's invited, anyone can come, and it's advertised as like a mini convention, mini gaming convention. You can play all kinds of games from Terraforming Mars to I bring my Starfleet Battles, Starfleet Warlord, like not Starfleet Warlord. Next step, though, that actually is a good idea to think about. Who was, I think Tim Muick? Had the idea of running Starfleet Warlord while people were there at the convention. And I'm just wondering if I can do something like that, but integrate in the whole idea, which I think I talked about early many podcasts ago, which is what I call Starfleet Warlord Lite, which is take the Starfleet Warlord, all of these commands, all of these things you can do, and limit them, put them down to the core. Now, the question would be, how would you do that in real life? And I'm not sure at the moment. it could be something like get a number of laptops together, or have it so that there's a printer. And then I have to enter in the orders, and then we do this like once an hour. You submit them at the top of the hour, at the bottom of the hour. I would give you the results. I print them out, and boom, you can have them. And then have people pay me, enough money so that like 50 cents a turn, something to covering the cost of printing the printing. The turns out, and not pay me for my time. Maybe we can do that at the convention, which I think would be a kind of cool idea. So should be interesting. I think with that, I'm going to wrap it up for this evening. Had a nice little discussion about SFU Adventures and some ideas when it comes to collaborative interactive fiction, collaborative fiction overall. And of course, the whole thing about conventions and, what to do with them. Little thing there. And of course, discuss where should I go from here? And of course, a quick update on Da-da-da-da, TalkShoe. And do we want to actually rely on TalkShoe in the future, or should we move to something like the Discord app, and use that for our interactively when it comes to live podcasts and so forth? And I definitely want to investigate, because I've investigated Discord app enough to say, yeah, we can go forward, and I'd like to have some people to help me out on a quick beta test some evening or some maybe even during the day. We want to do it for like an hour, or whether it's during the week or during the weekend. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.